It's finally Friday on Rush to Reason with your host, John Rush.
Jim, right? What do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
So I tell him I'm a blowjob. Then who do you think they give me?
The Dalai Lama himself.
So he finished 18, and he's going to stiff me. And I say, hey, Lama, hey, how about a little something, you know, for the effort, you know? And he says, oh, there won't be any money. But when you die, on your deathbed, you will receive total consciousness. So I got that going.
No, go past this part. In fact, never play this again.
I think you got the wrong impression about me. I think in all fairness, I should explain to you exactly what it is that I do.
What I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
When does this happen in the movie?
Now. You're looking at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened then?
Past then.
When?
Just now. We're it now.
Go back to then.
When?
Now.
Now?
Now.
I can't.
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just
now. When will then be now? Soon.
Stick a fork in me, Jerry. I'm done.
Now, here is your host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
All right, hour number 3 is upon us this Friday edition. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, myself, Andy, and Charlie. So, real quick, answer to the impossible question of the day was load the dishwasher.
45%
disagree
struggle with
on how that's done.
See, I'm one of these smart married guys.
I never did, because I don't load it.
I do what I'm told, but
I don't load it. I just wash them and put them away. There's no loading necessary. I don't use it.
Yeah, I know.
Charlie
says you're weird.
I'm weird. I use it
now
the
and
amount
then.
Of time it takes to load the bloody thing, I can wash and be done.
It depends on the stuff. Certainly when we are entertaining, having a lot of people, you know, it's real nice to
so
just
do you
line,
wash
line
while
up
you
those...
go sort of a thing or no?
I do.
Yeah, me too.
If I'm entertaining, I will probably midway through the event be in there washing a lot of the things and putting them away.
Yeah, me too.
You know, while Corey's more entertaining.
Yeah, because I'm the let's get this thing done and over with guy.
Well, I don't want to. I'm not telling people to get out the house. I'm just keeping the place clean.
Charlie's in there just shaking his head.
Do you literally hold a gun to their head? Look, I'm not saying you've been here too long.
Not that bad. No.
Here, let me set this. Click. But
here's a timer.
Here's a timer.
You show up and it goes
off.
Oh,
the timer went off. Wow.
You need to leave.
Gosh, what does that mean? You know, hey, I don't know if you've noticed, I put these arrows in the floor leading to the door.
This is COVID. There's little stickers.
Yeah. No, I don't care if you're spaced out or not. I just, you know.
Get out.
You don't have to. No distancing necessary.
Oh,
just file out.
I'm sorry.
I'm John Rush. Thanks for coming.
See you next year. Not that bad. Sorry.
Honey, what do you mean I never let friends come over?
I'm not that bad.
Jeez, what do you mean? What do you mean I'm not social?
Oh. I'm not that bad, no. But I don't think with the dishwasher.
Do you put arrows out in front of your house that literally come up these steps and then literally turn around and go back down the steps?
No, but
on
I have
the
thought
left?
About parking lines out there where they know where to park. I haven't.
Parking lines.
But I've thought about it.
Come on.
Park here.
Wow.
Anyways. All right. Okay. So let's get into the, should we talk COVID a little bit? We talked a lot of election stuff earlier. Should we talk how stupid COVID is here in Colorado?
Oh.
Not stupid as in what's, you know, the, you know, people that have had it and die. I'm not making fun of anybody along those lines. Please don't think of it that way. But what we're doing in response to it is stupid.
This is something that scares me, John, with the,
which, by the way,
restaurants more.
So,
than
real
anything.
Quick, as a side note,
yeah, go ahead.
All the things that are now starting to happen in the state, we predicted this.
Yes, we did.
Because we said they'd wait till after the election,
and then boom, lower the boom.
So here's a question I have for you. So, like, I live in Jeffco, so I got this notice the other day that Jeffco's moving up a level to level 3.
Oh, they went level 3.
Whoa! Hang, time out.
DEFCON 3.
Hang on though, not till Monday, because I guess COVID knows that it's going to be Monday and it's not. I don't get it.
Well, no. Actually, because that gives restaurants and places a little time to prepare and put more X's on more tables and more chairs up. Folks, 25%. They can't live on 75%.
No, they can't, Andy.
They can't because, look, they could do that back in March and April. Why? Because they had had a big, great year under the Trump economy.
And they had PPP.
Right, and they had PPP money rolling in, and they could do that for a month or two. That's over, baby.
And by the way, they don't need more PPP. They need to stay open.
Yes.
That's all they need, folks. They don't need more money. They need to stay open. Wait, now, just fair warning.
Go ahead.
For Tuesday, Jordan Goodman will be on with us. Okay? Just giving you a little warning, because Jordan, America's Money Answer Man, he's the kind of guy that believes we need more injection of things, and he thinks COVID is really bad, and we should probably keep some things shut down and so on. And I love Jordan, but he and I very much vehemently disagree on this aspect of things, because my feeling is we don't need more money to be given out. We just need to get them open.
Yes. And look, folks, it's because we're looking at numbers. The right. numbers say
the numbers
that death count is running 90% down from where it was. You can't stop all death. And Jordan, you know, he needs to understand
right.
that it's the same thing with cars. Yes, we could stop all auto deaths with a 10-mile-an-hour speed limit nationwide.
Or better yet, Andy, just make them stop driving.
Yes.
Just park them all.
Right.
Right?
Look, 25% in restaurants or even 50% in restaurants destroys restaurants. It is the exact same effect on restaurants as a 10-mile-an-hour speed limit would be on the rest of the economy.
That's right.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Well, you'll see headlines today that read something along the lines of Colorado reaches highest, you know, COVID hospitalization rate, you know, ever, you know, but they're comparing it to, you know, I don't have the headline exactly in front of me.
It's never been high.
Basically that, well, what they're comparing, you know, we're going to be back to the same levels we were in the spring. Okay. Well, that's not really an all time. I mean,
John, back in the spring, first of all, there weren't that many of it. And secondly, we didn't even have the other surgeries, which I think it was good to table the elective surgeries at that time, just in case. Mm-hmm. Right. But, John, there were tumbleweeds blowing down the hallways of hospitals.
And in some cases still are, by the way.
Yes. They're not overrun.
Side note, they're not overrun.
They're not overrun. Hardly anybody is dying. The death rate has slowed to a crawl. The people who are dying, the average age of death, got to say it again, is the same as the average lifespan of Americans. Okay? So they're losing virtually nothing in the terms of years. Why? Because they are dying primarily of their comorbidities. Mm-hmm. This is simply hastening it a little bit. I'm sorry. That's a bad thing. I don't want a couple few months taken from someone's life. But I can't shut down the economy and put a gun to the head of every restaurant to stop it.
No. No. And again, you're going to see headlines that say things along the lines of, you know, we're at the highest hospitalization rate we've been, you know, since COVID started and things along those lines. Well, keep in mind, folks, they're comparing our numbers, like Andy just said, to back what was happening in the spring. And the reality is we've learned how to deal with COVID better. We've got better treatments for COVID today than we had back then. The reality is, in Colorado, our hospitals are not being overrun, despite what the governor and others might actually tell you. The reality is, we haven't even touched these open beds that we've got in three different places in Colorado that we are paying a ton of money for each day. $60,000 here downtown.
I know.
A day, $60,000 a day.
By the way, really quick, before we go to break, let me ask you two quick questions. Sure. I wish Richard was here. This is more up his alley. Okay. You've seen how they are, like, postponing games or shutting down games or shutting down players and all this if they get COVID in the NFL, if they got it in the NBA and so forth, right? Mm-hmm. Mainly the NFL. Let me ask you something, John. How many of those players have died from COVID? What's the recovery rate for those players from COVID?
100%.
What are we doing?
Great question.
It's nuts. And yet it's this huge story. People are just like, oh, my gosh. They shouldn't play this game because two players have COVID and they need to go on alert. These are healthy young people who barely feel it. This is the kind of hysteria that has grabbed the country.
Coloradan has this headline, and I read this earlier. I just couldn't remember word for word what it said. Colorado and Larimer County have reached the greatest number of COVID-19 hospitalizations since the pandemic began, exceeding the peak. The peak. Remember the peak.
The peak.
In April. If the curve is not beat and it continues, or in the contacts increase over Thanksgiving, the state could surpass ICU capacity by mid-December. Folks, let me tell you what. First of all, hospitals are very good at being able to convert things around and get things handled. I've had a couple of texters that have texted me and said, well, do you know they have to have, you know, different equipment. They got to do this. They got to do that. I'm like, yeah, we got ventilators all over the place in this country. Not that big of a deal, folks.
No,
which, by the way, the last thing you want to do with an ICU person with COVID is put them on a ventilator. That's like last resort.
Terribly last resort. And Trump made sure that we had all kinds of them. We're not using them.
We have a plethora of them right now, folks.
We are not going to come close to maxing out these hospitals, not even remotely close. And by the way, one reason they're maxing out is because we held off all those surgeries, those elective surgeries that are now piling in there. We can shut that down anytime if we need to.
Larimer County hospitals are currently treating a whopping 65 COVID-19 patients, according to the county's online COVID-19 dashboard.
In the whole county.
11 new COVID-19 patients were admitted November 2nd alone. 11. Hospitalizations due to COVID-19 have never been this high, according to the county's dashboard. But keep in mind, folks, you got to put this back into perspective. 65 in all of Larimer County hospitals. 65. 65.
They've never been this high, John, because they've never been high.
Right. Thank you.
They're low. They're really low.
The UC Health spokesperson said the entire system is caring for about 230 patients with either a confirmed COVID infection or a pending test result. In other words, they don't even know if they have COVID out of that 230.
How many people are dying?
Our numbers are way, way, way low in Colorado right now.
Yes. Okay. I don't care who has COVID. I care who's dying of
COVID and what
condition they were in prior to dying of that, and we're destroying an economy.
Well said. Hold that thought. We'll come right back. American National Insurance is next. Paul Leuenberger, my agent, would love to help you make sure you're properly insured across the board, home, auto, life, you name it. He wants to take care of you, and he'll do that. Just call him today at 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger of American National Insurance will make you financially whole. Losing your home or vehicle in a disaster will leave an emotional impact, no matter how much insurance you buy, but it doesn't need to hurt you financially. John Rush personally knows homeowners who have ended up in bankruptcy because they didn't have proper insurance. Even after their houses were completely destroyed, they still had to make mortgage payments. Imagine trying to find a new place to live while still paying a mortgage on your old house, which no longer exists. The same thing has happened to vehicle owners who continue to make payments on totaled vehicles because they didn't have enough coverage to make them financially whole. The personal insurance agent of John Rush, Paul Leuenberger of American National Insurance, will make sure that even in a disaster, you will be made financially whole. Call 303-662-0789 for the coverage you expect.
All right, Bruce Simmons is next. He is our reverse mortgage professor. If you've ever had a question on a reverse mortgage, Bruce is the guy to call. Go to klzradio.com or 303-467-7821.
You don't need it now, but you will need it someday. You're still working, and you're not planning on retiring immediately, but you'd like to have cash available for your future. A reverse mortgage line of credit allows you to convert a portion of the value of your home into tax-free liquid money available to you at any time, and you don't need to use it right away. KLZ's local reverse mortgage specialist, Bruce Simmons, has been hearing from homeowners 62 years and older who haven't retired yet, but who would like to get a reverse mortgage now while interest rates are still so low. Bruce can help you maximize the amount of money available to you, setting up a line of credit that will continue to grow tax-free until the day you need it. Don't wait until you retire. Plan ahead now so you know you have the money when you need it. Set up a free consultation with Bruce Simmons at klzradio.com/reverse. NMLS 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
Kevin Flesh, no matter what your legal dilemma is, Kevin's there to help you with it. 303-806-8886 or find him at fleshlawfirm.com.
The hard part of my job is getting the case ready for trial. The really fun part of my job is going to trial.
Call the personal injury attorney who enjoys going to trial, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law.
The thing that people need to do when they're talking with lawyers about trials ask the lawyer that they're talking to whether they like to go to trial or not.
Although most personal injury cases settle outside of the courtroom, you want an attorney who stands ready to represent you at trial.
The reason that we say trial tested, trial ready is because we do enough cases that we are always ready. And it's like anything else. You ride a bike or, you know, you shoot trap. If you do it often, you're still in good regular practice on it. If you do it once a year, not so much.
Trial tested, trial ready. Personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh. Call today for a free, no obligation consultation. 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law. They get results.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it very much. Myself, Andy, Charlie, and we left off that last segment talking about COVID and things that are happening in Colorado. I do get it. I just don't understand why they're doing what they're doing.
They're insane. They don't understand the whole idea of cost-benefit analysis. The benefit isn't worth the cost. It just isn't. The numbers say it isn't.
Can't argue there at all. You're 1,000% correct. But yet they're still going to do it.
What they are doing to businesses right now, I'm going to use one word. It's horrifying. I mean, it is horrifying. And, John, I don't understand why these businesses at this point don't just say, you know what, I have to not obey. I just can't obey. There's no way.
I can't say as I can argue with you there.
Jeffco, 25% seating.
Wow. By the way, we had, so I'm looking at the deaths. You said we don't care about cases. And by the way, I don't. I care about deaths. And that's
right.
Exactly right. And by the way, I don't have the numbers on these deaths. I'd have to dig into the data to find out what the age group and location of where some of these deaths are. So we are now at November 5th. So yesterday they reported 17. The day before, 29, the day before, 8, the day before that, 3, the day before that, 7, the day before that, 18, the day before that, 12. Keep in mind, some of these lag. The day before that, 11, 8, and so on. So if you really look at the death rate, it's really not skyrocketing by any stretch of the imagination. The highest day we've ever had was on April 24th. They reported 115 on April 24th. So we're nowhere as close to where we were at our peak back then, and frankly, I predict that we won't be. What's interesting is when you look at other parts of the country or parts of the world, Sweden being a great example of that.
Right.
Where in Sweden, they've not done any of the things that we've done here in our state, not even as far as the country goes, but not the state. Sweden's done a few things when it comes to, you know, suggesting of social distancing, not allowing large gatherings of over 500 and so on. But in reality, it's pretty much been life as usual there, and they've, you know, protected the most vulnerable. That's what they did.
They are now, yeah. And Initially, they didn't, but they are now.
And they've pretty much, I don't know if you would say they've got total herd immunity, but they're doing much better at that than we are.
Oh, John, way better. There's no comparison, and that's why their death rate right now is running at, what is it, like a quarter of what you're seeing in Germany and France?
It's running at about, let me make sure that I say this correctly, they're about twice the size, not quite twice the size of Colorado. In okay. population, and their death rate is half of what we are in Colorado.
Which means overall it's a quarter. If they're twice as big and running at half the death rate.
Right. Of Colorado, not the U.S., just Colorado, right. I'm saying.
Right.
Which, again, I don't think most people really put that into perspective. If you look at Sweden total, you look at Colorado total, you look at where our numbers are, they're a country that's not quite twice as big as Colorado as far as population goes. It's close. And they're literally running at half the numbers that we are.
Right. And by the way, John, for those who hear us and say, well, wait a minute, 17 deaths here, 11 there, 5 here, 20
there. You don't care about people dying,
do
you?
You don't care about people dying.
We do.
Guys, I hate to tell you this. You had numbers like that before COVID ever existed.
Yeah, what about the flu?
You had elderly dying at those rates.
But we have no flu deaths right now.
Yeah, we have absolutely no flu deaths.
I'm not making fun of that. We just don't.
Right, because nothing's called the flu.
That's right, because they've gone to something else now.
Right, we call nothing the flu, and keep in mind, with those other comorbidities, those things would have killed these people.
That's right.
In time. Most of, I won't say all, but nearly all. Especially the ones who die who are in their 80s.
So there, anyways. What I'm saying is this,
John. People are hearing these numbers and they're saying, "Oh my gosh, 230,000. I went Joe Biden for a moment. 230,000 have died, or 17 here, 20 there, and so forth." And they're thinking that if COVID wasn't here, none of these people would be dying. That is the most false statement ever made.
It's not true.
These people who have died in Colorado from COVID would have died, probably 80 to 85% of them would have died in the next year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's interesting to see how this is all going. We'll keep our, you know, we'll keep watch on it. And by the way, I'm not an expert in epidemiology by any means, but I'm an expert at reading data and know what's going on along those lines. Bill in Boulder is up next. Bill, what's going on, sir?
Hey, yeah, John. So as far as like the normal background death rate, at the beginning of this, way back in March, my mom's like hypochondriac. She was freaking out. She's in New York State. And I tried to put her at ease a little bit. And I looked up what the normal just everyday death rate is in the state of Colorado mm-hmm. for natural causes, car accidents. Those
right.
Types of things.
Right. All, yeah, just, right. Like, people dying.
It's almost 900 people every day.
Every day in Colorado.
Every single day, that's just what happens. So, you know, not trivializing any of those deaths, but
right.
like you said, 11 here, 14 there, that is factoring into that background, you know, that background figure, so to speak. And, you know, to your point earlier, do we just stop driving? I mean, I think 9 million people a year die because of lung disease from smoking across the globe.
Correct.
So do we just get draconian and say, you know, you are not going to smoke? So, again, this kind of comes back to the individual freedoms and the liberties, and then you have to weigh that against what how dangerous or not dangerous something is.
That's right.
And when over 99% of people recover from this pretty effectively, destroying an economy just
yep.
seems like a very out of odds response to a problem.
And it is.
And historically, we've never responded to an issue like this before. And that's the thing that I think really should make more people stop and pause.
Agree.
But nobody does.
Nope. You're very much
wearing masks when you're just walking around in the neighborhood and there's nobody else on the street and you're wearing a mask.
Spot on.
I don't understand that one.
You are spot on.
You know what I mean? I wish people would just come to their senses on this.
Well said, Bill. No, I appreciate that very much. Mark Smith joining us here. We'll talk about the election with him in a moment. Purefoy Chevrolet is up next, folks. And if you want to buy a car or truck, that's the place to go. New or used, they've got you taken care of. They got a full used car lot of vehicles as well as a new car lot. PurefoyChevrolet.com, 303-659-8311.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. You know, being in business for six decades in any business is a tough thing to do, especially in today's highly complex and competitive world. As a small business, we certainly have experienced many trying times when there was no clear answer or path to take for survival. The COVID-19 virus for all of us has been the ultimate business disruptor, but once again, we've managed to keep on keeping on, and we are there to serve our many tried and true customers that have depended on us to always be there. We aren't and never will be a big high-flying dealership, but one with honesty and integrity and a culture of doing things right. We appreciate all our customers, many of which have come long distances to do business with us. We are proud of who we are and what we do. Purefoy proud. We certainly need and would appreciate a chance to earn your business, whether it would be for parts or service or if you're in the market for a new or used vehicle. We'd love to be your Chevy dealer. Find us today at purefoychevrolet.com and find new roads.
Al Smith, Golden Eagle Financial, would love to help you out with all of your financial planning, future retirement, wealth accumulation versus retirement planning. Al can inform you of all of that and help you get there and stay there. Go to klzradio.com or call 303-744-1128.
You have the money. Now you need a plan. Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial specializes in retirement planning, teaching you how to preserve your wealth so you have enough money to last. You've already done the heavy lifting by saving diligently all of your adult life, but you still feel uncertain about what your retirement will look like. You have the money. Now you need the plan. As a fiduciary advisor, Al Smith will show you how to protect your savings from unnecessary taxes, when to file for Social Security, and how to minimize risk. Unlike a stockbroker who earns a commission every time they buy or sell on your behalf, Golden Eagle Financial offers stable, long-term guidance so you know what to expect for you and your family's future. Visit klzradio.com/money to set up a free, no-obligation consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Geno's Auto Service, folks, whatever your vehicle needs, they're there for you. Get ready for winter, which, by the way, we got snow coming this weekend. Give them a call. Anything you need, they'll take care of you. Full bumper-to-bumper service. 303-794-6700. Or it's genosautoservice.com. Don't forget, that's Geno's with a J.
Winter is coming quick, and if there's one thing Geno's knows, it's that a well-maintained vehicle performs and lasts, especially during the harsh and sudden Colorado winter weather. Take advantage of Geno's free multi-point inspection before winter arrives. We'll evaluate your vehicle by looking at your fluid levels, belts, hoses, and filters. Any maintenance or repair work on your vehicle comes with a NAPA Peace of Mind warranty, covering parts and labor for 36 months or 36,000 miles. To make your life simpler, Geno's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off and pick up when ready. Geno's continues to service Larry's Automotive customers through NAPA Auto Care, warranting any work you may have had done. If you think your vehicle will benefit from our multi-point inspection, give Geno's a call or go online to schedule an appointment. We're AAA approved and located at Bowles and Platte Canyon in Littleton. Stay safe this winter. Stop in or visit us online at genosautoservice.com. That's Geno's with a J.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, myself, Andy, and Charlie, and Mark Smith joining us now as he does on Fridays. Mark, welcome. How are you today, sir?
Hey, guys. How are we doing tonight?
We're doing okay. Where are we at? Give us some thoughts.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The critical date for the presidential election is December 14th. December 14th is when the electors meet to actually pick the president of the United States. So the next month is going to be a roller coaster ride, I suspect, as President Trump, you know, goes through these legal challenges in these, you know, handful of states that are going to decide this election. And we're starting the process now, and we'll see where it winds up.
Any insight, thoughts on, you know, is there enough, you know, votes out there that are, you know, illegal or, you know, that could be overturned? You know, there's so much stuff going on in the news and so much information, Mark. Some of it, I think, valid. I think some of it's probably misinformation. What's your insight?
Well, I think the way to approach all this complexity and to simplify it is this way. First of all, understand the end date is December 14th. Then the question is, which slate? Right. Every state is going to pick a slate of electors. They're either going to be Biden supporters, right, to vote the electoral votes of the state for Biden, or they'll be Trump supporters. We know most of the states the answer, but there's a handful of states we don't. Obviously, Arizona, Georgia, although North Carolina is going to go for Trump. You know, Pennsylvania obviously is the big one. We're looking at these specific states. Now, here's the thing. Now, as an attorney who tries cases and litigates cases, you know, there's a misconception going on out there right now, which goes like this. Well, where is all this massive evidence of voter fraud that Donald Trump says exists? But, you know, that's not how you think about it as a lawyer. That's, again, the cart in front of the proverbial horse. And what I mean by that is the evidence, or I should say the trail of potential evidence of voter fraud, of irregularities, of things that seem to have gone wrong in this election in certain cities is, to me, somewhat overwhelming. Now, in a lawsuit, whether it be a criminal case or a civil lawsuit, you don't need all your evidence compiled on the first day you raise the issues. You start the case and saying, we believe we have these problems. We have enough evidence, right? We got smoke here. We suspect there's fire. We're now going to start the legal process. Right. And then we're going to investigate. We're going to take testimony from witnesses. We're going to look at documents. We're going to analyze the data. And then after we've done that for a period of time, we're going to come back to you and we're going to show you what we found. Right now, we're at the very beginning of that process. Now, what's perplexing to me as just as kind of an American looking at the scene, isn't it kind of interesting, big picture wise? How is it that we had no blue wave? Right. Mm-hmm. The Republicans are likely going to control the Senate.
Right.
right? There certainly was no crazy blue wave in the House of Representatives. If you look state by state, guys, right? I'm sure you saw too. The Republicans did not lose a single chamber in any state in America, and we gained them, including in New Hampshire. We actually picked up the whole state house, the governorship, and other things, right?
Right.
So the point being, how is it that we have kind of this de facto red wave all across America, right? We have this sort of pro-Republican, pro-conservative approach all across America, and yet somehow in a handful of cities in the swing states, in cities known for having election irregularities, somehow those votes come in after everybody else has been counted, mm-hmm. and somehow those cities manage to deliver just enough votes to overcome the Donald Trump lead. Now, maybe it's a coincidence. Maybe it's all fine. Maybe everything was done according to Hoyle. But certainly there's enough evidence here that there's a trail of evidence, I would suggest, that maybe something is not right. And obviously, that's what Donald Trump's going to do over the next few weeks. He's going to look into this very carefully. He's going to make sure everything was done the right way. And if it wasn't, then he'll try to get it addressed. But no, I think we're a long way from this being over.
I agree with you, Mark. I think you're exactly right on that. Now, is it an uphill battle? Of course it is. That's always what happens in a particular situation like this. When you're the, in this case, the underdog, and you're trying to prove what's actually gone on and whether there's been some irregularities and or some outright, you know, malfeasance that's happened, you know, he and his legal team are going to have to be the ones that actually prove that and make that happen. And I understand that fully, but I'm like you. Common sense just tells me that, wait a minute, time out. First of all, we shut down counting at 1 a.m. Donald Trump's ahead. All of a sudden at 4:30, we open things back up again. There's this plethora of Joe Biden votes that automatically just sort of showed up in that 3-hour time span. And there's this automatic, you know, spike, if you would, for Joe Biden. To me, I just look at that and think that doesn't make sense to me.
And that's right. Now, I think Donald Trump deserves a tremendous amount of credit because I think we've talked about this before. Donald Trump has been raising the alarm on the dangers to the election system from these mail-in ballots and from the, what the Democrats were doing and lawsuits across the country for literally like 8 or 9 or 10 months at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump has been flagging this issue and has said, look, they are trying to convert election day, right, into election month.
Right.
And he's explaining that this is a problem because, as you know, the more complex you make something, the longer something goes,
mm-hmm.
the more things that need to go right, right? You're just asking for more things to go wrong.
Correct.
And I think by converting election day into election month, you're just asking for more opportunity for things to go wrong, whether on purpose or not. But what's interesting, of course, is all these mistakes that we've been seeing across America. Isn't it interesting that, as far as I can tell, all the so-called mistakes that have occurred in this election seem to only benefit Joe Biden?
Well said. Can't argue that one. We've said the same thing here. That part, again, if you look at that and you just use common sense and you take that common sense approach to it, you're sort of like, well, wait a minute. If we were going to have issues, wouldn't they be on both sides? Wouldn't we see a red spike in, let's say, Kentucky or Arkansas? But yet there's not.
Yeah, glitches happen evenly. Glitches do not happen all in one direction.
I mean, that would be like us in Colorado, that's a blue state, all of a sudden sort of having a red glitch, if you would, or a red spike for Trump here in Colorado, which, of course, we didn't have.
That's right. And is it interesting that states like Ohio and Florida and Texas, massive populations, a lot going on in these states. These are huge states with a lot of people, a lot of counties, and they managed to get their job done promptly, no problem. And how is it that the usual suspects, right?
Yep.
I mean, we could have said it a year ago, we could have had this conversation, and there's no doubt in my mind we would have been able to identify the problematic cities a year ago right off the top of our head. And so isn't it an interesting coincidence that that's exactly where these votes are coming from,
mm-hmm.
and that's exactly what's happening. And they still, it's not even clear to me if they actually know how many votes they need to count. Because, you know, someone asked me about Bush versus Gore today. Now, here's the interesting thing. In 2000, we had the lawsuits in Florida involving the Bush versus Gore case.
Right.
And what was interesting about that case was that was a case about recounts and how to do a recount of a very close election. What's interesting, guys, is this, that tonight, as we sit here in America today, I don't think we really have the first count in these states. So never mind talking about a recount in these states.
Good point.
We don't even have the final
count.
Great point. Never mind. We can't even talk about a second count and a recount and what goes in, because we don't have the first count. Now, how is it possible in these states, with all their large budgets, these are big states with a lot of money, and yet they can't get the first count done? I don't know. To me, again, I'm not saying something's gone wrong here, but it certainly suggests that something has not gone perfectly right.
Well, Mark, let's look at the wider issue here. We're talking about, why is it all the cheating, if there is cheating, going one direction in favor of the Democrats? Okay, well, how come 99% of the violence on the streets is all done by the left, by Democrats? How come 99% of the theft, how come virtually all of what we are seeing that is wrong in America right now is going in one direction? Aren't we just basically talking about a lawless party? I mean, they're lawless.
Well, I don't know if you can say they're lawless, but certainly...
Well, I can.
I would agree that when you look at the riots we've seen in the streets in places like Portland, it probably is not a coincidence that a lot of this violence has taken place on the streets of Democratic cities. As to whether or not that's because the police won't enforce the law or they've been told not to do it, it's a great question. But no, it's most unfortunate because, you know, I am perfectly content to lose a game if it's fair and square.
If it's fair.
I'm perfectly content
thank you.
To lose.
Yeah, absolutely.
I lose all the time.
But,
you know,
nobody wants to lose a game, though, Mark, where, you know, we've all been involved. I mean, any of us that have played sports and you've had different situations or whatever come up where, you know, all of a sudden it's the game-winning basket that gets shot by the opposing team. You've won. You know, you basically as a team been ahead all game. All of a sudden, at the very end, the buzzer, the guy shoots the three-pointer, it goes through, but his foot's on the line. The ref doesn't call it. They win the game, but you know they didn't win fairly. Nobody likes to see a game end like that.
No, nobody likes to see a game where the referees make the final decision.
That's right.
And the problem here, I think a big problem is that rather than have a very clean set of rules like we used to have, which is we're going to have election day, and if you need to vote absentee because you're sick or out
right.
of town,
you apply
process,
for that, you get a ballot, and you do it. And that's the way it used to work.
Keep it simple.
That's
keep
right.
it simple. The old KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid,
right.
as they say. Keep it simple. But when you've added all this complexity, and this is one of the things I think we talked about before, not only were some of these states creating new voting systems in the same year as an election, they were creating these new voting systems in the same year as an election, also in the same year where we're having a pandemic and you can't train the people because you can't even put them in the same room to have
That's
a
right.
conversation about how it's going to go, and you can't test the system. I'm not even sure today, guys, we know who won the Iowa caucus. Do we know who won the Iowa caucus? I'm not sure because
right.
they didn't really test that system right. And
that's
I'm not
right.
sure the Democrats know.
Well,
so to me, that's the problem, that we a lot of these states implemented these changes in the system at the last minute in a presidential election year without proper testing, without proper training.
Mm-hmm.
And to make it even worse, this was in the middle of a pandemic where you really couldn't do any of the checks that you could do. If you could actually have a meeting in an office together face to face, you couldn't even do that in these states.
Okay,
right.
Mark, really quick here, setting aside what's true and false. Okay, setting aside our position that we're people of the right, setting all that aside, I just want to talk about appearance and legacy. What is it going to look like, Donald Trump, to enter office, to enter the political scene, claiming that Barack Obama's birth certificate was fake, and to leave the political scene complaining of voter fraud in an election that he loses? What is that going to look like? What is that going to look like to the American people for his legacy? Not we on the right, but everybody.
Well, I mean, if Donald Trump doesn't win this election, the first question is his legacy over, or are we going to see a Donald Trump in 2024? That would be my first question.
Right.
And that means I think Donald Trump's legacy is a great one in terms of impact. It is no doubt that Donald Trump's 4 years, 5 years, he reinvigorated the conservative movement in America. He taught Americans, he taught the GOP, frankly, how to win.
That's right.
He gave us these judges. He gave us 33% of the current Supreme Court. I think his legacy as a great president is, frankly, etched in stone. Now, of course, he will get no credit from the mainstream media and the liberal establishment. That's not going to happen. But if you look at what he accomplished and how he changed America and how he changed how you get to be president, you cannot deny he really, really mattered to American history. As to what Americans do with that legacy, well, the future of the history is yet to be written.
Well said. Mark, I'll leave you with that. Perfect. I appreciate it very much. We'll talk again next week.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Take care, sir. We'll be right back. Steve in Colorado Springs, hang tight. We'll come right back to you. Enchanted Kitchens is next, folks. And to get that Enchanted Kitchen, just go to klzradio.com or you can call them directly at 303-376-7588.
You need to stand in your new kitchen to know what works. You have some ideas based on pictures you found online, but you've never actually seen, touched, or felt the counters and cabinets that will become part of your daily life. The Enchanted Kitchens design team built their experience center with you in mind, so you could feel at home, only better, giving you the chance to visualize your new kitchen ahead of time. I'm Marie Christine with Crawford Broadcasting, and I'm over 5'10". I spend a lot of time bending over my countertops at home. The first time I visited the award-winning showroom at Enchanted Kitchens, I stood next to a countertop that reached my waist. Suddenly, I could imagine standing up straight to cook. As a Rush to Reason listener, the design team at Enchanted Kitchens will meet with you for free in their experience center to help you solidify your vision of a kitchen design that works. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Affordable Interest Mortgage is next. To actually make that kitchen happen, Kurt Rogers can help you with that. And it's really easy. Just give him a call, 720-895-0500, 720-895-0500.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
All right, a good shop. We had a owner on, Alan Sturm, earlier where, hey, if you need anything when it comes to collision repair, a paint work, body work, detailing, you name it, they can do it all in-house. It's really easy. Just go to klzradio.com, look for a good shop, find one of their three locations, or 720-541-7697.
You don't want to feel like just a number. Al Sturm, owner of A Good Shop Collision Repair, offers a different experience from the corporate conglomerates. After 40 years in the auto body industry, Al has been hearing the same thing from his customers for decades. Everybody's looking for a good shop, somewhere you can find quality service in a timely manner without wondering whether or not you're being ripped off. It's hard to know what's going on when nobody will talk to you. Today, as the owner of three locations in North Glen and Commerce City, Al gives his customers exactly what they're looking for, an independent, family-owned collision repair shop where you're more than just a number. At A Good Shop, not only will the final product be flawless and safe, covered by A Good Shop Lifetime Guarantee, but Al and his team will actually take the time to communicate what's going on with your vehicle. Visit klzradio.com/collision. Certified collision repair, worth referring.
You know you ought to take a second look at your home and auto insurance because premiums keep going up, but you haven't set aside the time. Let Paul Lenigro and his team at Group Insurance Analysts help you for free. Make one free phone call today to review your plan. 303-423-0162.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
Hi, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Steve in Colorado Springs, you're next.
Good evening, Sir John. How are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
Good. I agree with your previous caller, the counselor attorney at law, with this ever-increasing evidence of voter fraud, particularly coming out of Philadelphia and Detroit and Milwaukee. I think I'll keep DOJ attorneys busy well past Christmas and New Year's. But I have an elegant solution, and that would be for both parties, that would be Trump and Biden, Yankee Stadium, 45 in her hand, winner-take-all, pay-per-view. It would exceed the Super Bowl views.
It probably would, actually.
I'd watch.
Yeah, I'd watch it.
I'll buy the ticket.
I'd watch.
So
I'd bet on it. You know, I think there'll be a lot of pari-mutuel betting in the millions. But anyway, on the COVID thing, on the COVID deal, I was reading a little piece on Sweden, as you've spoken about. Sweden had a lower death rate than seven other European countries that did do a lockdown. Sweden did not. But one thing that has kind of gone unnoticed is that because of the socialized medicine, if you are like 80 years old and you get COVID, you're not getting treated because of a ration.
Well said.
Their basic attitude, their attitude is, you've had a good run. See you later.
Yeah.
That's a great point, Steve.
Well said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
oh, you're exactly right.
Insurance. We'll get back to insurance issues. That's off topic for now some other time. So.
No, you're right on the money. So real quick, going back to the election and some of what we talked about with Mark a moment ago, what are your thoughts? I mean, where do you see this thing going?
Many, many court cases, hopefully the Supremes, but I don't see it getting resolved before Christmas, New Year's, and maybe inauguration, do you?
Well, they got to do something by the 14th of December, otherwise we're in, I don't know what we do.
Well, one thing I read is, if it cannot be resolved, and what it does is go to the House of Representatives by Constitution and or statute, but you have each state that gets one vote.
Right.
So whoever gets 51 wins, which is a little bit different than having the entire House. That's what I've read. Maybe it'll do that. I don't know.
Well,
what do you think?
I honestly don't know. I mean, for me personally, I'm kind of one where, you know, I'm going to watch this over the next few days, maybe even the next week, and sort of see how things play out. I don't see Trump giving up at this point. I think he's pretty well stated that he's going to, you know, run this thing through its course, which frankly, if I were him, I would be doing the exact same thing. I wouldn't be, there's enough evidence running around right now where I wouldn't be backing off of that. You know, is there enough voter fraud and enough votes to overturn to turn the election the other direction? We don't know. That's the unknown, and that's why you got to keep fighting. We don't know.
And how do you certify the fraudulent votes as being fraudulent? Because like in Philadelphia,
great question.
There were a bunch of precincts, 100,000 votes, and there was not one for Trump. That is statistically impossible.
It is statistically impossible. You're 100% correct on that one. You are. That those are the things, Steve, I think that bother me the most is if you look at what you just said and you look at the data, again, we're data people, you look at the numbers, there is no way that every single one of those 100,000 votes would be all for Biden.
I would like to see the court case where instances like that are presented and they are publicly televised.
Yeah, it's statistically impossible for that to happen.
How is this possible? And have it on TV.
Right.
It's not. And then the other issue is, I think it's Milwaukee. I'd have to re-verify. But there were multiple precincts with multiple tens of thousands of votes where there were more votes than registered voters. Give me a break.
Right. And then, what you'd have to look at there is, did they have same day registration? If so, how did that go? Did they do that correctly? Did those people actually live there? You know, again, there's a lot of fact finding that would have to go on in that particular, you know, realm. Just like our last, you know, just like Mark, our last guest said, you know, that's where you'd have to start the discovery and figure those things out.
We need to be grateful that Trump is fighting the fight because I've never seen anybody.
Yeah, you know what, Steve? I'm glad you just said that because, frankly, and I will say this, I don't think there was another Republican candidate on stage in the primaries back in 2016 that would be doing what he's doing today. The majority of those guys up on that stage that were up there with him would have thrown in the towel by now.
And you look at the bashing and trashing every single day of his tenure.
Yep.
They should call him President Pinata, and he has the fortitude to stand up to that.
Well said. Steve, good call. Thank you so much. I do appreciate that very much. And I mean what I just said, folks. There's not another candidate back in that primary days of 2016 that would have stood up and would be doing what he's doing today?
No, I don't think there is.
So
I think, and Mark Smith made a good point. He's taught us a lot. One thing he's taught us is how to govern.
That's right.
And how to fight.
That's exactly right. Extreme Auto Repair coming up next, folks. And by the way, make sure you get those tires on your car. There's a $75 rebate right now on Cooper Tires that they sell you at cost as well. Find them at klzradio.com.
Mistakes happen. Auto repair shops prove their mettle when something goes wrong. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker recognizes that mistakes happen. They're committed to doing what they say, even when that means replacing a failed part for free or honoring the original price they quoted a customer despite unexpected issues. They hear all the time from their loyal customers that's what keeps them coming back because of how the entire team responds when something goes wrong. The techs at Extreme Auto level with you, following through to fix the problem. They don't just replace parts, they repair vehicles. It's that same degree of integrity that keeps their employees around long-term, too. The average Extreme Auto technician has 16-plus years of experience, and they stick around because they share the same commitment when something goes wrong. We do what we say. No arguments, no excuses. Just apologize and work to make it right. KLZradio.com/extreme promises kept.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for this Friday edition. Myself, Andy, and Charlie, thank you so much for joining us. We do appreciate it. All the calls, all the texts, all the comments. Had a great, fun fourth hour, and we really appreciate you all listening to us as well. Don't forget, tomorrow I'll be back 9 a.m. for Fix It Radio. We've got our electrician joining us, as well as Drive Radio at 10 a.m. I've got Jasper Transmissions and Engines joining us tomorrow as well, and we'll have a lot of fun there. So please join us tomorrow if you would. If you missed the first hour, they'll catch it next. Otherwise, we're out of here. Myself, Andy, and Charlie, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.